Well, we're going to be spending some time this morning thinking about our verse for the year together, but it's worth reading where these words are said. So we're going to get our Bibles open to Matthew 28. See, one of the dangers if you don't read it in its context is you could read it, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And you think, well, that's great, isn't it? But it's not you. That's not the me here. So we need to understand what's going on. We need to understand who's speaking. And so we're going to turn to Matthew 28, page 1000 in your church Bibles. If you need a Bible and you didn't bring one with you, then please just put a hand up and someone would love to bring one to you. Anyone need a Bible? It's just a couple over there. Matthew 28, so lots of you will know the story, but Jesus has walked the path to the cross. He's died in the place of sinners as a sacrifice for sinners. And he has been raised from the tomb. And that's what we're going to pick up the account. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, and here's our verses for the year, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Excuse me, I told you I was going to cough my way through this morning. I hope you can be patient with that. Familiar words, aren't they, to many of us? We need to pray, don't we? And say, "God, please break into the familiar today, and please teach us. Please help us to know what you want us to be this year, as we listen to these words together." So let's pray, shall we, to that end? And then let's look at the scriptures together. Our God and our Father in heaven, to many of us these words are so familiar that they may have lost their impact upon us. And we would simply ask, Father, that by your grace today, you would move among us, that you would cause these words to live, that your Holy Spirit would bring these words today with fresh conviction and fresh force, and that they change us this year, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, I'm just going to have to grab a quick drink of water first. Oh. Has anyone else had this thing over Christmas? I think most of us, haven't they? Good, well, many of you will be familiar with this logo. Anyone familiar with that logo? If you see one of those on a car, most people get a bit frustrated, but you know something, don't you, about the car in front of you. You know that inside the car, there is someone who is learning to drive. They are in the process of becoming a driver, a qualified driver. They're learning everything that's involved. Now, very simply this morning, I want to tell you that this simple logo, if you can have this kind of stuck in your head and your heart this year, this simple logo captures something of what Jesus wants us to do this year and of what Jesus wants us to be. If I could make it a little bit more personal, it captures something of what he wants for you personally this year. This simple logo captures something of what Jesus wants for you personally as you embark on this year. It captures something of what he wants you to give your time and your energies and your resources to this year. It is something that actually he spells out for us in the middle of our verse for the year. And let me put it like this morning. This is what Jesus wants for us as we enter 2019. He wants us to be disciples who make disciples of others. He wants us to be disciples who make disciples of others. See, just look at these words up here. Look at the bit that we were learning in the song. Therefore, Jesus says, go and make disciples. In other words, go, Jesus says, and make them my disciples. And here's where the logo comes in. See, here's where this little L plate becomes relevant for us this year. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a pupil who has deliberately attached themselves not to a system or to a club, but to a person. A disciple is someone who has linked themselves up with a teacher from whom they want to learn. They recognize that this teacher has something important, something they don't have, something we desperately need, and a disciple is therefore someone who has attached themselves to someone they want to learn from. And here in Matthew 28, that teacher is Jesus. He is the Master, the Lord, with all authority in heaven on earth. And he is the one that we are to become disciples of, learners from. So if you were to try and say to someone, what is a disciple? You can say to them that a disciple is a lifelong learner of the Lord Jesus. A disciple is a lifelong learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, as Jesus says these words, which we're going to have hanging up here all year, and hopefully you'll have on your fridges or whatever at home, as Jesus says these words, standing before him are 11 men who had left everything to follow Jesus. They've attached themselves to this man. Okay, they've got all their faults and their worries, and we'll see in a moment that they've even got their doubts in this chapter. But here are 11 men who have left everything to follow Jesus. They heard his call and said, Jesus, we're with you. There are 11 men who have devoted 3 years of their lives to listening to and learning from Jesus. 11 men in front of him are disciples. You see that? That's what it means. They've followed and they've listened and they've learned. 11 disciples filled with doubts, filled with, and isn't that a comfort? You see, just look at, if you've got your Bibles open, it's not up here, but in verse 17, they see Jesus, this risen Jesus. They've processed the cross, as it were, and they've now seen him in front of them, and they're disciples, but what does it say? Some doubted. You know, actually, if you're here and you've got any doubts, that doesn't kind of negate you being a disciple. Disciples can have their doubts. They can have their struggles and their worries. But we can still be disciples. We can still attach ourselves to Jesus. And to these 11 lifelong learners, even with all their doubts, Jesus says to them, go and make others what you have become. Go and make others lifelong learners of me, the Lord Jesus, who has now been given all authority in heaven on earth, who has a name that is above every name. See, what is it, friends, as we enter 2019, what is it that Jesus wants us as a church to give ourselves to this year? What does Jesus want us to give our time and our attention and our spending to this year? Being disciples who make disciples. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to give ourselves to being disciples, people who are committed to this lifelong learning relationship with the Lord Jesus, but who are then going and making disciples of others, making them what God has graciously made us. As we put it in our church aim, perhaps some of you know it by now, but what does our church aim say we want to do? We want to make Jesus known in Enfield Town. Why? Because we want others to be disciples as we grow to know him better. That's our church aim. What does Jesus want for you personally this year? Well, if you're not a disciple, I can say with absolute confidence this morning, because this is Jesus' agenda to the very end of the age, if you're not a disciple, this year Jesus wants you to be a disciple. He wants you to get yourself into this place of being someone who follows him and who listens to him and learns from him as the one that you need, as the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. That is his unchanging agenda to the very end of the age. And if you are a disciple here this morning, then what does he want you to be doing this year? Well, he wants you to keep being a disciple, but he wants us to make disciples of others. A disciple involved in discipling. He wants you to be involved in this great commission that he's left the church to be getting on with until he comes again. He wants us to be creating, making lifelong learners out of the people that live around us. And so that raises the question, doesn't it? That's pretty kind of straightforward to say that. Be disciples who make disciples. But that raises the question, well, how do we do that? How do we go about making disciples this year, being disciples who make disciples? Well, there's a number of things that Jesus draws our attention to in this verse that helps us with that great task. And the first is this: being disciples who make disciples will involve going. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul. They're familiar from the letter of Romans, but see if you can follow what he says. How then can they, that is, people who don't yet know Jesus, call on the one that they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Do you understand the argument? No one's going to believe unless someone's sent to tell them. That's the argument. Now, let's try and just reshape Paul's words. I know you're not meant to change the Bible, but let's just try and reshape it by the Great Commission for a second. This is what it might sound like. How then can anyone become a disciple? How can anyone become a lifelong learner? How can they attach themselves to Jesus when they haven't believed in him? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they go to them? Do you see the point? See, what does Jesus say? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, what does he say? Go. Good. Three of you are awake this morning. That's good. What does he say? Go. Go and make disciples of all people. He's literally saying that you've got to move from A to B. You have literally got to travel. That is what that phrase means. You've got to move from one place to another. See, unless disciples, those who have committed themselves to lifelong learning from the Lord Jesus, depending upon him, unless disciples go, how will anyone hear about Jesus? How can anyone else possibly become a disciple? How can anyone possibly know that he is the Savior who died and rose and has all authority on heaven and earth? How does anyone know what it looks like to live a life of learning from him? And who does Jesus want us to go to? Well, again, it's pretty self-explanatory in the verses, isn't it? He wants us to make disciples of all nations. He wants us to go to the whole world, to people of every nation, of every tribe, of every people and every language. See, what God is calling disciples to do here has become so familiar to us that it's maybe just lost its impact a bit. He is calling the 11 men standing on a mountain in Galilee to cross boundaries that they've never crossed, to go to people that they would never have mixed with normally. Why? To make disciples. To let them know about Jesus, who has all authority, not just over one nation on earth, but over all nations. And friends, if we, as a church family this year, are going to play our part in this great commission that the Lord Jesus has left us with, to make disciples, then it will involve us going. Do you understand that? It will have to involve us going. It will involve us going together as a church. There'll be things that we can do together corporately as one big unit where we can go to different people, to different places, and tell people about Jesus. So let's just make it practical for Enfield Town Community Church. It will mean that we keep going into the town and doing street stuff where we just seek to be around to talk to people, giving out invitations to church or giving away gospel. At a really practical level, it means we want to keep up this year this initiative that we started to get into the market and have a market stall and just be around, because we've got to go to where the people of Enfield Town are. It will mean keeping up our door-to-door ministry. Some of that sounds intimidating to some of us. But it means we've got to keep doing it. Because it's as we go to people that we have the chance of telling them about Jesus so they might become lifelong learners of Jesus too. So it'll involve us going together, but it'll also involve us going on our own. It will involve us going by ourselves to different people and to different places. Can I ask you a question? Where will you try this year to make disciples of others? Where will you go to make disciples of others? What door on your street, perhaps, might you knock on? Seen somebody move in? What will you move over there to get to know them? Have the chance of introducing them to the Lord Jesus? What person might you invite for a coffee this year that you might have a conversation with them about Jesus? Which person in your workplace might you deliberately move to from A to B? Okay, that may just be down the corridor or to the desk next door, but it's still moving. You've got to go somewhere. Which person might you go to this year with the aim and hope of introducing them to Jesus that they might become a disciple too? And friends, a simple point is this. If you don't plan it, you won't do it. It's not just going to happen by accident. We have to plan to go. We have to plan to go to people that we might stand a chance of making them disciples. So it'll involve going together. It's going to involve going as individuals. But actually, it'll involve us getting behind what others are doing further afield. See, we can't all go to the world. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Let's book a little going trip. I hear it's good climate in Tenerife at this time of year. You know, we could do that kind of thing, couldn't we? Where we could all go together. But the question that it begs of us, these verses, these commands of Jesus so familiar to us, but it begs the question, doesn't it? What are we as a church doing to get behind others going to the nations, that other people might hear the gospel? Some of you will have heard of a website called the Joshua Project, which kind of seeks to define certain statistics about the Christian faith. But according to the Joshua Project, did you know there are nearly 7,063 unreached people groups still in our world? That's people we've got to go to. Someone's got to go to them. How will any of those people in those people groups become disciples unless somebody goes? Friends, Is the Lord Jesus calling any of you to go somewhere beyond Enfield Town to make disciples of other people? See, only as disciples go to other people with the gospel, with the aim of making disciples, will people ever hear about Jesus and ever become a disciple. Where will you go? Think about this personally, okay? Don't let this bounce off you. Take this away and actually think about it. Where will you plan to go this year in order to meet people that you might introduce to Jesus? Who might you make a disciple of this year? See, being disciples who make disciples will first of all mean going. Now, I guess you can predict the next one. So being disciples who make disciples, what's the next one? Anyone work it out? There it is, baptizing. Now, this isn't a license to just go dunking people in swimming pools wherever you go, by the way. You're baptized. We need to have a think about this, don't we? My kids, as you'll know, over the last few years have moved schools a number of times. And every time they kind of leave one school and join another, they have to kind of take off a uniform, one kind of set of school uniform, and they have to put on a new set of uniform. It's an expensive business, by the way, school uniform. But this is kind of part of their leaving and joining, isn't it? Their uniform marks out visually what school they belong to. And in many ways, something we have to understand about baptism is it is exactly the same in many ways as a school uniform. It marks out who we belong to. So just as you see my kids walking down the road wearing their particular school uniform, you say, well, they belong to that school. And when someone is baptized, it marks them out as belonging to a certain school. It marks someone out as attaching themselves to a certain teacher. It marks themselves out as, whose disciple am I? See, look at what Jesus says. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm aware that's kind of pretty dense, but just try and catch the heart of what it's saying. See, if you're not familiar with baptism, it is the act of plunging or dipping into water. If you've never seen one, then in a couple of Sundays' time here, the 20th of January, we've got a bundle of people being baptized here. That's what it is. You can come and see it. But in part, this act of plunging and dipping someone into water, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, symbolizes the leaving of one way of life. The leaving of one world view, of one kind of nation and family, as it were. And the joining of a new family, the joining of a new nation. It is the joining of God's royal family. That's why it's marked here in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You're joining that group, that family. And you can only do that because of the joint actions of this family. People can only leave one nation, one worldview, one way of life and join this new way of life because the Father loved this world and He sent His Son. And the Son came into this world. He lived as one of us, lived the life we never could and died the death that we deserve and was raised to life. And He sent the Spirit that Jesus, this Jesus who speaks these words might become real to us. And friends, it is the joint actions of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit that mean people like us can now be marked out as belonging to that family, to that nation. See, where does being a disciple begin? If someone wants to embark on this lifelong journey of being a learner from the Lord Jesus, where does it start? Well, it starts with a turning. It's what the Bible calls repentance. It's what baptism symbolizes in many ways, turning from a way of life perhaps that you've been living where we just leave God out, turning from a way of life where we've just disobeyed everything that God has said is good, turning from a way of life perhaps where you do worship a God, but it's the wrong God. It means turning from that way of life. That's what these guys would have encountered as they went to the nations. It means turning from that way of life and turning instead to Jesus. Jesus, who tells us here that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. He has the name that is above every name. It means turning to Jesus who died on a cross. Turning to Jesus who rose from the grave so that our sins might be cleansed, washed away. The Bible talks about it like a washing, that we could become his disciples. And friends, baptism, this thing that Jesus commands us to do, is really Jesus' shorthand way of symbolizing the turning, the cleansing, and the belonging that takes place when somebody comes to trust the Lord Jesus. It symbolizes attaching ourselves to a new teacher. You see, sometimes I think we think about baptism wrong. Baptism isn't your graduation ceremony as a Christian. It's your enrollment ceremony. It's where it begins. It's where you say, I've done this wrong. I've lived life wrong. I've lived it without God. I've lived against God. And now I'm turning. Now I'm turning to Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, who died and rose so that I could be forgiven, that I could become part of this family. And now I've attached myself to him as my teacher, as my Lord. If you're getting baptized in a couple of weeks' time, that's what you're doing. You see, being disciples who make disciples will involve baptizing. You see, as we go and as we preach the message of Jesus, the gospel that calls people to turn from one way of life to another, it calls them to repent, it will mean that we end up baptizing people to mark that they've kind of left one way of life, put down one uniform, and they've joined and they belong to something new. See, can I ask you this morning, very personally, if you're here, have you yet responded to the gospel of our Lord Jesus? Have you responded to the message that he came, was crucified, has risen, and is coming again as judge? He has all authority on heaven and earth. Have you responded to that message? Have you turned from the way of life that is wrong, and have you turned to Jesus? As the scriptures put it earlier in Matthew's gospel, have you repented? Have you believed? See, that's where being a disciple begins for any of us in this room. And if you have done that and you're sitting there saying, yeah, I have done that this morning, then can I ask you, have you been baptized? Have you gone through this visible act that says, yeah, I belong now to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I've attached myself to Jesus as my Lord? Have you done that? If you haven't, please come and talk to us, because that's what disciples do. We'd love to talk to you about standing here and doing that. And friends, here's a question for perhaps some of us who are a little bit further down that journey. As you share the gospel with people, does your gospel include the call to be baptized? It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus says, go baptizing. See, I wonder if we don't quite, or we stop at certain points, but actually Jesus says, no, you've got to be baptized, because it's such a visible thing of saying you've left something and you've joined something new. Is that what our gospel includes? Do we call people to repent, to turn, and to be baptized? So being disciples who make disciples, first of all, means, good, you're still alive, that's good. It means baptizing, fantastic. And then what do you think the third one is? Teaching, good. See, you could do this is fantastic. It means teaching. Let me just bring you back to my L plate for a moment. We see cars driving around, don't we? You'll see cars with L plates, you'll see cars with P plates, and you'll see cars with no plates, apart from license plates, of course. But you see L plates, P plates, and no plates. Now, as a learner driver, when I was, whatever it was, 17, 18, and someone who absolutely adored cars, okay, that was my whole world when I was growing up, just loved cars, used to help my dad fix cars, I just could not wait to shred the L plates. That was what I lived for. Every lesson was about striving to get rid of this L plate on the front of my car so that I could drive around and just drive and drive and drive. You see, I thought to myself, well, you know, I'll get the knowledge and then I can kind of bin the learner status. But you see, I think how I thought about cars and driving is sometimes the mistake we fall into when it comes to the Christian life, the disciples' life. See, you might begin to think, well, you know, where am I on this discipleship journey? Am I an L-plate disciple? And some of you might be sitting here thinking, yeah, I'm an L plate. Some of you might be sitting there thinking, well, I think I'm a P plate. You know, I'm doing all right, but I want everyone to know that I'm probably still not quite safe to drive yet. Or maybe you think you're a no plate disciple. Yeah, I've been a disciple long times. Would Jesus let us get away with that? No. You see, there's definitely a sense of maturing as disciples. The Bible definitely speaks to us about kind of growing up as a disciple. But will we ever put the L plates down? No. By the very name and very nature, a disciple remains a learner. A disciple remains someone who has their L plates firmly attached to them as long as we live. See, look at what Jesus says about discipling. Let's pick it up. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Disciples need teaching. It's built into the very name, disciple. We need teaching. Now, if you're listening carefully, what does that mean? That means that I need teaching. And it means that you need teaching. Because that's what a disciple is. They are learners. And what do we need teaching? What do we desperately need in 2019? Well, we need to learn what it looks like to obey Jesus. Not just some bits of what Jesus said, but everything that Jesus said. That's quite a big task, isn't it? Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded. We, friends, need teaching what it looks like to live with Jesus as Lord, as a parent, perhaps, as a husband or as a wife, as a worker in the workplace, as a friend. We need to know what it looks like to obey Jesus with our money and our time and our resources. We need to know what it looks like to obey Jesus as someone who owns a home, who owns a car. Yes, there are things that affect those areas of life. We need to learn. And what that means, friends, is that we desperately need teaching the Scriptures. It means we need teaching what these 11 men have passed down to us in the Scriptures, the authority of what they said as they listened to Jesus for those 3 years. And so let me ask you this morning, if that is true, if we need teaching, disciples need teaching, can I ask you, do you read your Bible? I'm not saying that to beat you up this morning. I'm saying because it's the thing that will help you to grow as a disciple. If you don't, please don't just sit there and feel really guilty and like, oh man, I'm just rubbish. Actually, we want to help you. That's what disciples are. We help one another to be learners. That's why we've got this table out over here. We long this year that we grow to be disciples, to learn from Jesus, but we'll only do that as we get stuck into the Scriptures together. Do you come to church on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening a hungry learner? You know, what did you pray this morning? Was somewhere in your prayer life this morning, Lord Jesus, teach me something today? Lord Jesus, I want to learn. I want to be reminded of stuff that I should be doing. Lord Jesus, please. Is that what you prayed this morning before you came to church? A disciple should pray that. Why? Because a disciple is a learner. That's what it means to be a disciple. And here's the other thing. You see, if we're serious about kind of learning and teaching, it will also mean that we need to bring ourselves alongside others who have been learning a little bit longer than us. See, there's something precious about church. See, I know it's embarrassing to look around a room like this, but just look at the age and experience and diversity in this room. Friends, we need each other because we can constantly be learning from one another what it looks like to follow the Lord Jesus. You know, perhaps somebody here has been through an experience and walked a path of sufferings and trials, and they've learned in that setting what it looks like to trust Jesus. And if that happens to me this year, what do I need? I need to stand alongside them and say, tell me what you learned. Perhaps there's something struggling in our parenting, perhaps some of us, and we think, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what it looks like to obey Jesus here. What do we need? Well, we need one another, and we've got to come alongside one another and say, look, have you thought about what it looks like to obey Jesus? A disciple, you see, and here's the thing which might freak some of you out, but a disciple is both a learner and a teacher, whether you like it or not. You will be learning from Jesus, but at the same time, there'll be somebody in a sphere around you that will be learning from you what it looks like to obey Jesus. And so here's a question. If you are a disciple, can I ask you, who are you learning from? And who are you teaching? Who are you deliberately trying to help learn? If you've been a Christian for a while, is there someone that you are looking to disciple? You know, maybe there are some younger Christians here that you could be on the lookout for. Can I help you to learn what it looks like to live a life that obeys Jesus? You see, why not make that your goal this year? If you've been a Christian for a while, why not look out for a younger Christian and say, can I help you? Can I help you learn what it looks like to obey Jesus? And some of you will be sitting there thinking, oh, no, I'm not a teacher. That's just what the people do up front. No, you are a teacher. As you bring people alongside you, as you let them into your life, as you talk to them about what it looks like to follow Jesus, you'll be teaching. It doesn't have to be a big sermon from the front of church to be teaching. See, perhaps for you, do you have somebody in your life? This is a question perhaps for some of the older Christians here. Do you still have someone in your life that you pick up the phone to and say, hey, listen, I'm struggling with this. Can you just talk to me about what it might look like to obey the Lord Jesus? Parents here, we're supposed to be discipling our children, teaching them what it looks like to obey everything Jesus has commanded. See, being disciples this year, who make disciples, will involve teaching, and it will involve being taught. It'll involve getting serious about obeying our Lord Jesus this year. See, isn't that our three words? So what are our three words as a church? Only if you're not visiting, you'll know these. We gather, we... What's the middle word? Grow. Isn't that what we want to do as a church this year? We want to grow in our obedience to Jesus. Do you want to grow in your obedience to Jesus this year? Will you grow as a disciple of Jesus this year? Will you help others this year to grow by teaching them in some way? See, again, it's one of these things, friends. If we're not deliberate about it, then we won't do it. We've got a plan to do it this year. Which people in my head this year could I help to learn to be a follower of Jesus? So, friends, what is it that Jesus wants us to do as we enter this year? What is it he wants for you personally this year? Well, it is simply this. Be disciples. Be a lifelong learner that is making disciples of others. And that will mean that we've got to get going. It means that there'll be people we'll be baptizing as they move from one way of life to another. And it'll mean that we've got to be teaching people. This has got to be a learning environment all the time, not just from here, but everywhere, learning what it looks like to follow the Lord Jesus. Does that sound daunting to you? It does to me. But that's why I'm really grateful for what Jesus says at the end of this verse. What does he say? Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus, who has all authority on heaven and earth, who died and rose again, promises to be with us. He promises to help us as we seek to be his disciples and as we seek to make disciples of others. So we're not alone as we set out to do this. Friends, should we pray about those things? And then we'll sing a song together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much, first of all, for the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you that you have given him all authority in heaven and here on earth. Father, thank you that he was the one who died, facing the brutality of the cross, facing your judgment at our sins. He is the one who has risen, who lives, who's ascended to heaven. We thank you that through him we can sit here as those who have been cleansed, as those who've been baptized, many of us, into your royal family. Father, we thank you for him today. And Father, as we put these words before ourselves this year, these familiar words, please would you help us this year as a church to grow as disciples of Jesus. Father, please help us by your Spirit who lives with us to grow in our obedience to Jesus this year, wherever you've put us, whatever circumstances. Please give us a hunger to learn from Jesus this year. Father, where that perhaps flame of desire has grown dim, Lord, please reignite it in us. Father, however long we've been a Christian, Father, please would we not grow faint in our desire to learn from him. And Father, please would you especially help us to be active in making disciples of others this year. Father, as a church, please would you give us courage to go. Help us to find new ways to go that we might connect with more people here in our town. Please would we see people turn in faith this year. Please would we be baptizing people lots this year. Father, please may we teach well all that Jesus has commanded us. And Father, please would each of us be good listeners and good doers of what Jesus has commanded. And we ask this in his name. Amen.